Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Hello and welcome into the Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa Hyak. And joining me on the line today is Dr. Chan Pei Yuan, Program Lead of Oral Health Movement 8020 or OHM 8020. Dr. Chan, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. First of all, explain Oral Health Movement 8020. What do the numbers mean?
So this 80-20 actually means to actually maintain at least 20 teeth at the age of 80 years and beyond. So this concept of 80-20 has actually been adopted from Japan. So what happened was that in 1979, they actually had less than 10% of the population who had at least 20 teeth of the age, at the age of 80 years and beyond. Mm. And after 30 years of work, they actually have improved their oral health of the population, such that you know the proportion of people who have at least 20 teeth at the age of beyond has increased to 51.2%. At the same time, what they found was for those people who had maintained at least 20 teeth at the age of 80 years and beyond, this group actually had better oral health and were actually in better general health. So that's why we feel that you know this is a goal that we can actually work towards to have better oral health so that we can have better general health.
But what kind of health issues might we face if we didn't have, you know, a set of that 20 teeth, you know, by the time we're age 80?
Well, I mean, if you have extensive tooth loss without replacement, this is actually associated with difficulties in chewing and swallowing, some changes in terms of their diet. So, you know, for example, if a person only has three teeth in their mouth and that they don't have any dentures, okay, so this can actually lead to changes in their diet preference. And if this is left untreated, this can result in nutritional imbalances as well as malnutrition and consequently the deterioration of their general health and overall well-being. Mm. So, of course, this can also impact a person's speech because, you know, you rely on your teeth as well as the muscles around to speak. And also, of course, the quality of life.
Mm. Actually, that's a very good point because my father is in his mid-80s. He doesn't have, you know, a full set of teeth left. And even then, I think his jaws are rather weak, right? So I found that I think that the downside was that there's quite a lot of protein that he can't take because he can't chew or break down the protein through his chewing.
That's very true. So actually, research has found that people who have extensive tooth loss are actually more likely to substitute food high in vitamins and fiber for food that are rich in carbohydrates and fat because, you know, it's difficult to chew vegetables and stuff like that. Mm. So they might actually lack the nutrition in certain food groups.
Mm. But what I'm curious about is, I think before we went on air, we were talking about the genesis of this movement, right? That came from Japan and it's been around there for something like three decades. So what's the reason for the timing of launching this movement this year in Singapore?
Well, I mean, in terms of our the overview of, you know, Singapore, oral health in Singapore, basically recent Singapore adult oral health survey actually found that 35% of our Singapore population had untreated tooth decay and 94% actually had gum disease. So tooth decay and gum disease are the most common oral diseases and are actually major contributors to the loss of natural teeth globally as well as in Singapore. So in terms of tooth loss, another study done in 2017 actually found that only 9% of Singapore population aged 80 years and above had at least 20 teeth, and 30% of in that research aged 60 years and above didn't have any teeth. So we feel that, you know, it's probably timely to do something about it.
Wow. Okay, hang on. You said 85% of Singaporeans have tooth decay, 94% gum disease. Are you talking about across age groups or just those in their old age?
Okay, so this this actually pertains to just adults. So the untreated tooth decay was actually 35 and gum disease was actually 94. So gum disease includes the whole range. So this includes, you know, the gingivitis, which is the milder form, and then ranging to the advanced gum disease, which includes periodontitis.
Wow. Do you actually see a difference between people, let's just say, below the age of 40 and above the age of 40 in their attention to oral health?
I would say that probably those aged 40 years and above probably would pay a bit more attention to their oral health and may visit the dentist more regularly. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason could be because, you know, these people are still working, and as such, you know, they can claim dental reimbursement, you know, through their company. So in terms of the dental attendance, it probably could be more regular as compared to those 60 years and above who may have already retired. And of course, you know, they don't have the dental benefit. As such, they may find that dental treatment or, you know, any dental consultation could be quite cost.
Okay.
And then that is a major barrier to dental care.
Which incidentally, if I may, you know, I notice a lot of companies actually have very low dental benefits, you know, something like $200 a year, which is almost a statement that dental health is not so important. So I wonder, you know, if there's anything you can do, since you're playing this role in this national movement, to try and also, you know, propose, right, that somehow, somewhere it's legislated that, you know, there are better dental health benefits, you know, for people who are in employment. But that's beside the point. I'm just slipping it in, right, for you over there. So, okay, for people above the age of 40, we still also have a significant number of people who may not be taking very good care of their oral health. But if we were to pay attention to this group of people, only from the age of 40, is it too late, actually, to reset the foundation, right, for better oral health in old age?
So I think, as a whole, I think oral health awareness is generally still low in Singapore. And a large proportion of people only visit the dentist when there's pain. And by then, they actually may require extensive and expensive treatment. And what we found from our involvement in some of the screening programs is many older adults, 60 years and above, actually still hold the belief that, you know, dental problems and tooth loss are inevitable consequences of aging. So what we want to do through this oral health movement 80-20 is actually go a bit more upstream, which is to target 40 years and above before they actually experience tooth loss. And also to tell them, you know, it is not true. Oral diseases such as tooth decay and gum disease are actually largely preventable. So we want to bring home the message that, you know, with good oral care and habits, it is possible to prevent oral disease and maintain your teeth for a lifetime.
Okay, so tell me about Oral Health Movement 80-20. How does it help those with poor oral health?
So the Oral Health Movement 80-20 is a preventive oral health program which aims to address oral frailty, which is the decline in oral function for Singaporeans age 40 years and above. So the OM 80-20 program has three key phases, and this includes screening in the community, intervention for those who are already pre-frail or frail, and followed by a review. So this oral frailty screening is done in collaboration with community partners, such as the SGH community nurses, as well as the SGH community health screening. Those found to be orally pre-frail or frail will then be given oral health advice and be referred for further assessment and follow-up. So through this program, we aim to educate the public on the importance of maintaining at least 20 teeth, as well as the impact of oral frailty on their overall well-being.
So if people, so this is still going on, right? Until, is it November later this year?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So who can and who should participate in this program?
So this is currently a pilot program. So for any Singaporeans aged 40 years and above who's interested, you can actually sign up through the SGH Community Health Screening Program. And interested parties can actually write to OM 8020 at ndcs.com.sg for further details.
Okay. And for those who are maybe not 40 yet, but want to set a good foundation, or maybe people who think that, oh, my teeth are in good health, you know, what would you like to remind Singaporeans in preventing that state of oral health at 80 years old when you're like toothless or, you know, can't eat your favorite foods and can't speak properly?
Regular dental screening allows for early detection and management of oral diseases. And what is also important is having good oral habits like brushing twice a day. So this will actually contribute to having good oral health and help to maintain at least 20 teeth, which will actually help to prevent oral frailty.
Okay. And what's your view on electric toothbrushes? Are they really that much more superior to, you know, manual brushing?
So actually, research has shown that if you compare manual toothbrush versus electric toothbrush, both are actually equally effective at removing plaque.
Okay.
Yeah, so that for someone who has an average dexterity, you know, So, but however, if you have dexterity issues, like, for example, in the elderly, they may have rheumatoid arthritis. So then, of course, an electric toothbrush may be beneficial because at least they don't have to mechanically, go through the motions. They just need to place it there, and then the electric toothbrush will help to facilitate the removal of plaque.
Okay. And one last question, right? For somebody who does brush twice a day, flossing, optional or still a must do?
I would say between doing a good brushing and flossing, I would say brushing would probably be more critical. Flossing is advisable or, you know, preferable. Like if, yeah. So because brushing can only do so much, it can only reach certain surfaces. Whereas flossing, it actually helps to remove the plaque in between the teeth. So I would say if between the two, of course, brushing is definitely a must. Yeah. So, but if you can add on the flossing, then it will definitely be a bonus.
Actually, I found flossing to be a game changer because at one stage I had overlapping teeth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I'm looking.
So, of course, if you have overlapping teeth or crowding, the crowding of your teeth, then, of course, you know, sometimes your toothbrush really can't reach certain areas, and that's where the flossing or the use of an interdental brush actually helps a lot.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you one day in person and check out your teeth. Well, Dr. Chan Pei Yuan, thank you so much for what you're doing for Oral Health Movement 8020 or OHM 8020, or if you're really lazy to pronounce it, it's OM 8020. Thank you so much, Dr. Chan, for your time and information.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Melissa Kiat for the Workday Afternoon, and you are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.